chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. Before I read the scripture here, I want to say something right here about one of the greatest dangers in the world today that we're living in. One of the greatest dangers today to the church, to save people, especially to lost people today. And it's a danger of unbelief. Unbelief and doubt in a Christian's life will leave you like a dead fish. You'll be useless. No good to anybody, no good to your family, no good to yourself, no good to God. You need to be on guard against unbelief. And can I tell you today, the devil's raging. He's using that device on all people today. He always has. You remember in the garden, he came to Eve and got her to doubt God's word. All throughout the word of God, man has struggled with unbelief, and that is a sin. It's a great sin for us to live in unbelief. We better believe God tonight and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's God Almighty. He's the Savior of the world. But let me tell you something, friend. These folks worried about a lot of things in the day that we live. We worry about things going on in the world. Iran's getting nuclear weapons and terrorists invading our country and all these things. But there's a bigger danger than these. This invaded our schools, invaded our television sets. It's invaded even churches today. There's churches that wants to change the Word of God today and get away from the truths of God because they don't believe God anymore. But tonight I want to show you something tonight that you better beware of. Don't get sin hardened in your life and get unbeliever into unbelief. Don't let the devil blind you tonight. He's the one that's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mamas and daddies, can I tell you tonight, he wants your children. He wants your home. He wants your life. And one great device that he has tonight is that of unbelief. You see, God can't bless you if you're living in unbelief. But tonight I want to look at a passage in the Bible and tie this man's life in with the thoughts of unbelief tonight. As we look into Luke chapter number 16, we'll read verse 19 and a few verses past there. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Sounds like he had it made, don't it? Sounds like a man that people strive to be like, don't it? I mean, he was doing real well for himself. The Bible says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Can I say it's going to come to pass for me and you too one of these days? Unless the Lord comes back. And you better be ready for that day. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Boy, I remember hearing that read when I was a little old boy, lost and undone, and boy, it just put fear down in my heart, realizing that there's a literal hell that men and women and boys and girls no doubt can wind up in that place if they reject Christ in this life. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Brother Adam, would you pray for us tonight? Lord, help us. Oh, God. Lord, help. Lord, yes, bless him, God, tonight. Help him, Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you, Brother Adam. Thank you for the songs tonight. I want you to notice verse number 27 and 28. He says, Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Hell made a believer out of the rich man. Hell made a believer out of this rich man here. I'm afraid today there's a lot of people that's going through life just like this rich man, living for the day, living for the pleasures of the day, giving no thought to God, giving no thought about one day falling into the hands of a living God. And the Bible says that we're all going to do that one day. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, that one day he woke up in the place called hell, and it made a believer out of him. And let me tell you something. I really believe tonight if a lost person comes to the place in life to where they really believe this Bible right here, they believe that God sent His Son into the world that died on an old rugged cross for their sins. If a person comes to that belief, if he believes there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, I believe that somewhere, somehow, sometime, as God deals with them, they're going to make their way to an old rugged cross. They're going to fall down before God and ask God to save them. Oh, but listen to me, friend. The devil in all his many devices and all his many ways to deceive mankind, he gets men and women, he gets boys and girls caught up in things of the world and takes our minds away from the things of God and puts our mind on the pleasures of the world and the sins of the world and the things, friend, that separate man and God, friend. And I'm afraid, friend, that there's a lot of folks today that's got good intentions one day of being saved. Hey, but let me tell you something, friend. You can wind up in hell by rejecting Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Can I tell you that tomorrow may be too late? Oh, this rich man, he died, and in hell he lift his eyes, being in torments. What a sad thought that is, isn't it? For a person to lift their eyes in hell and to know that they're going to be there forever and ever and ever, never will escape that place. Listen to me tonight, friend. I want you to notice a few things about this rich man and how he come to be a believer. First of all, I want you to notice his riches. The Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. He had a sumptuous lifestyle. He had a life of great pleasure. No doubt he had great wealth, and he had probably all the material things that a man could desire. Or the Bible wouldn't have said this about him. He was a rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. Notice, friend, in this sumptuous living, he was wealthy materially, but spiritually he was bankrupt. Nothing said about his spirituality of knowing God and being prepared to meet God. Not only that, friend, but his wardrobe, it says that he was clothed in purple and fine linen, which speaks of royalty. Oh, he'd risen to the top, no doubt, in life, in society. He could buy the finest of fine to put on his back and to clothe himself. But he was clothed also in the filthiness of his rags, of his righteousness, friend. He had no righteousness of God that had been applied to his life. Picture of a lost person today. Doesn't matter how much a man gains in this life as far as riches go. It doesn't matter how high you climb in society, friend. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care where you may be the king of some country, friend. But if you don't know God, you're broke. You're destitute. Friend, you got nothing. Nothing, nothing. Let me tell you something. He had sumptuous living, wealth, his wardrobe, his ways. All his ways took him away from God. His wealth and the things that he'd acquired. I believe this was a man that really saw no need of salvation in his life. I believe he was having such a good time, he thought, well, I'll just take my chances another day. Then another day. And another day. In another day. There's a lot of folks today that know they need to be saved. But they keep putting it off. Another day, another time. And let me tell you the danger that's in that. A person that's lost and rejects the call of God, the heart gets a little harder. And it gets a little harder. And a little harder for God to break through upon that person. Oh, we need to be tender-hearted. We need to teach our children that when God deals with them, that's the time to come and to be saved. His riches, he had sumptuous living, but I believe he also had selfish living. In verses 20 and 21, it says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. It doesn't say that he was fed with those crumbs, but he desired to be. I believe this rich man was so selfish that he looked at Lazarus with disdain. An old poor beggar, sores on him, clothes. He probably stunk, friend, and I believe he just stepped around him. I don't believe he liked Lazarus a whole lot. Selfishness. We live in a selfish society today. It's all about me. Me, me, me. Even when we pray, most of the time it's about me. God, give me this. God, do that. God, we find ourselves most of the time trying to instruct God in our prayer life. He needs no counselors. Amen. But I believe this rich man was sumptuously living. He was selfishly living, but he was stupid living. You ever seen a rich, stupid person? I have. You remember old Ted Turner, Brother Joe? All his billions of dollars, but he's stupid. Because he's going to die and leave it all behind to somebody else one of these days. Stupid. To be rich in this life and poor with God. But you know the Bible, when Christ was speaking over in the book of Matthew, I believe it's chapter 13, speaking about the sowing, the sower that went out to sow there. He spoke about the riches of this world and how it chokes the word. It chokes the word. You better beware of the deceitfulness of riches, Christ says. Don't get your eyes focused on the riches of this life. You better get to laying up some treasures over on the other side, friend, where it'll count for you, friend, where thieves and robbers can't break through and steal, friend. Let me tell you something, friend. There's some riches that'll endure eternity. And that's the kind of riches we ought to have a desire for tonight, friend. He was stupid living. I believe he was deceived by his riches. He thought, I've got it made. I ain't got nothing to worry about. He gave no thoughts of eternity and going out to meet God. His riches, his rebellion then. Notice this in verse number 28. I'm talking about a man that rebelled. Notice he's talking about Lazarus right here. He said in verse 27, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. I believe that he had a testimony from Lazarus. Why would a man in hell say, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus to my five brethren? I believe he rebelled against the testimony of Lazarus. This old poor old beggar that was laid at his gates, I believe he tried to witness and tried to testify to this rich man, not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but to trust in the living God. But now, as he failed in heeding the warnings of Lazarus, friend, now he's begging Abraham to send him to his brethren and let him testify unto them. Talking about his rebellion. He had Lazarus' testimony, and no doubt he had the Lord's truths. You see, Lazarus made it into heaven. Lazarus had the truth of God to share with this rich man, but he rebelled against it. No doubt he rejected the truth of God. And let me tell you something, friend. You can reject the truth of God just like this man did. You can reject the Spirit of God as He deals with you for salvation. And let me tell you, in rejecting these things, friend, you can reject the Word, you can reject the drawing of the Spirit of God, and you can reject Christ till one day it's too late. Listen, he had Lazarus' testimony, he had the Lord's truths, and he had time. He had time. I wonder how many times Lazarus may have tried to testify to this man and to share with him the things of God. Boy, I wonder how many people's in hell today that had time after time after time after time to get right with God. But they put it off again and again and again and again. Till one day they're just like this rich man and they lift their eyes in a place called hell. Listen to me. I'm talking about a man that hell made a believer out of him. We come together to church to share the gospel, to teach our children and to learn from the things of God that our faith might grow and that we might know in whom we believe. He had time, but now he's got torments. Torments. You know, I was working on something the other day. Had a little old piece of metal in my hand, had a grinder. I was grinding that metal, Brother Adam. And I got that thing just about like I wanted it, and like a dummy, I reached in there and touched it. And, you know, it's comical, but, you know, just touching the tip of my finger. And that wasn't even on fire. It wasn't even red hot. That was a pain shot through me. I mean, it just my whole body just racked in pain. It kept hurting for a while. Can you imagine tonight being in the bottomless pits of hell? Flames engulfing your body, but you're not consumed. You're tormented like this rich man right here as he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may just dip the finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Begging for just one drop of water. One drop would have been what a great relief to him, he's thinking. Hell's an awful place. But can I tell you, hell is a real place. Hell is not just some cuss word tonight. Hell is a reality. And the Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. Multitudes of people are plunging into a devil's hell because they've been deceived by him, deceived by unbelief. Notice this, his riches, his rebellion. But notice now his request, his desire. He had a desire now because he was burning in the bottomless pits of hell. His desire now was, Father, Abraham, have mercy upon me. I wonder in life if he'd have just bowed on his knee while he had a chance, while he was living in, on this side of eternity, if he'd have just cried out to God and said, God, have mercy upon me. He could have been saved. He could have had assurance. He could have not wound up in this place called hell. Now he's begging for mercy. The one that refused the beggar is now the beggar. Lazarus was begging for the crumbs from his table. Now he's begging for one drop of water to cool my tongue, he said. His desire. But notice his desire, his denial in verse 25 and 26. It says, but Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence unto you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He's denied. Wouldn't that be a sad thing? To be crying out from the bottomless pits of hell for mercy? For somebody to come and help me, just do something for me. God says, no, ain't going to happen. There's a great gulf fixed. You can't get to where we are. We're not going to get to where you are. He was denied. His request, his desire, his denial, but now his display. He displayed something out of hell. And I tell you why. It's because hell made a believer out of him. I wish that something in this life right here, there's probably somebody in this room tonight that's never been saved, that really hadn't got this thing settled in their heart tonight. No doubt in my mind. I had four or five messages I could have preached tonight. This is what God laid upon my heart. Hell made a believer out of the rich man. What's it going to take to make a believer out of you? Let me tell you something, friend. We live in a society today, in a world today, that is God-hating, that is Christ-rejecting. We've got leadership in government today that wants to take God out of our society and away from our children today, the heritage that they deserve, that we need to give them. They're doing everything they can to take it out. They've taken God out of the schools, taken the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls. They're doing everything they can to take God out of our society today. And it's all the work of the devil, friend. The devil wants man to be unbelievers. The devil wants everybody in the place called hell where he's going to be one day. He's deceiving multitudes today. It's our job to stand up and preach the truth, to preach what this Bible says right here, to preach to these kids in here and tell them, friend, there's a hell to shun. There's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. And friend, every one of us is sitting in this room tonight. One of these days we're going to be in one place or the other. His display of a burden, though. Isn't it a shame? This rich man, he could have probably sent out missionaries everywhere. If he'd have just turned to God in life, no telling what God could have done with that man and his money. He could have probably built churches. He could have been an influence probably to his brothers. No telling what he could have done if he'd have just been a believer before he went to hell. Hell made a believer out of this rich man. Now he wants his brethren saved, that they wouldn't come to that awful place of torment. I wonder tonight, if we could just open this floor up right here and if we could just look down into hell at the people that we've known and crossed paths with that's in hell, friend, and listen to their testimony tonight. I tell you what they'd be saying. Don't come to this awful place. Get saved before it's too late. That was the desire. That was the burden of this rich man. He didn't want anybody to come to that awful place that he'd wound up in. Hell had made a believer out of him. But he was rejected in all of his desires and all of his wants. No doubt he had opportunity in this life to get things right. No doubt he had Lazarus' testimony. He had Lazarus, I believe, probably gave him the Word of God. He rejected it all and died and went to hell. What's it going to take to make a believer out of you? Hell? It'll make a believer out of you, but it'll be too late. You better believe on this side of eternity. This is the truth. These words are the words of God. Christ spoke much about hell and heaven. And the way to get there is through His Son. He's made a way that all could escape. Isn't it interesting what he finally says right here in closing this chapter? He said, I've got five brethren. They need to be testified to, lest they come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What's it going to take to make a believer out of you? You see, he had Moses and the prophets. We've got the completed canon of God. We've got the truth right here. We've got preachers preaching the Word of God. We've got the Holy Ghost of God that draws and deals with man's heart today. He said, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. What he was saying, God, if you'll raise Lazarus from the dead and let him go and testify to him, they'll repent. They'll believe then. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What kind of advantage do we have today? Lazarus was not going to be raised from the grave and sent back. They had Moses and the prophets to believe the Word of God that was given. But today, what a great advantage we have. We have one that rose from the grave. Hey, he was seen of over 500 brethren at once. And listen to me, friend. You better believe today that God's Word is true. You better believe. Don't get caught up in unbelief. The devil will have you, he'll have you in the depths of hell one of these days. Hell made a believer out of the rich man. What about you? You going to wait till you hit the bottomless pits of hell before you believe? Stand with me around the house.